The following program is recorded content created by the Truth Network.
It's Matt Slick Live. Matt is the founder and president of the Christian Apologetics Research Ministry, found online at carm.org. When you have questions about Bible doctrines, turn to Matt Slick Live for answers, taking your calls and responding to your questions at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right, welcome to the show, everyone. You're listening to Matt Slick Live. I'm your host, Matt Slick. Today is, May 10th, 2022. For the podcasters, if you want, you can give me a call. All you have to do is dial 877-207-2276, and we can talk. There's nobody waiting right now, so if you want to be the first one in, now's your time, now's your chance. All right, so I am continuing to do some research through the New Apostolic Reformation, and for me, it's becoming quite interesting. And I'm going through a book, The Final Quest by Rick Joyner, and he's been around for, you know, decades. And boy, I'll tell you, some of the stuff that these guys are teaching is incredible. And I was just sharing it with Charlie before the show, that Rick Joyner Final Quest book here, that this guy, you see, claims to get visions from God in a trance-like state. And he actually talked to Paul the Apostle and Jesus. And then he's reciting in the book the things that he was told. And, like, you know, this is insanity. The casual means by which these things are conveyed, I just don't buy into it. He has made numerous prophecies in other books, and he gets revelations from God, and talks about the religious spirit that's out there, which I can only assume means that it deals with people who don't agree with him in Christianity. And here's a quote. This is really interesting. He says, quote, "As I continued walking away from the judgment seat," close quote, and he goes on, you know, I'm like, what? So now he's at the judgment seat? He's having this vision? And the thing is, people say, well, it's an allegory. No, it's not. He actually wrote in this book that he says that he wanted to convey him as an accurate form, not by allegory like the Pilgrim's Progress, but this is what he actually said occurred. He's seen these visions. This is just one of the guys, and I'm trying to find documentation on some other things he said. Once I get it documented, then I'll be able to talk about that, and if it's true, it'll be rather profound. I'll just leave it at that for now. Whew, I'll tell you, man, you know, so much heresy, so little time. And I could use your prayers. I'm going to say this. I was talking to Charlie before the show. I don't know, 12 or so years ago, I bought 3 cameras and did some video work. And Carm had its problems. We kind of stopped video work here for a couple, for a few years. We're really working on it now. Now Luke Wayne and I are really, we just talked about it before the show too, the necessity of getting video going. So I got these old cameras, and I've probably spent 6 or 8 weeks, not every day, but every third day, fourth day, a couple hours, 4 hours, for weeks and weeks, trying just to get the lighting right. I have limited space to work on, and it's been extremely difficult, and there's been more than one occasion when I wanted to take the cameras out into the desert and go skeet shooting with them and take my shotgun, throw them up in the air, and kablamo. Well, it took me weeks to get the video lighting going. Now, this is what happens when you have old cameras. You have to you have to really work the conditions very precisely, because the new cameras are a lot more forgiving and a lot more capable. That's how technology is. All right. So I got most of it pretty good. And I showed some people in the chat room after the show yesterday. Here's some video, and, you know, give some thumbs up. Yeah, it looks pretty good. The video looks pretty good. You know, the lighting and stuff like that. All right. So I spent some time doing a video, so that I could work with it in the whole bit. And I get it into my system on my computer, and I put that in there, and Now the audio isn't working right. And so, oh, delightful times. So now, for some reason, the audio isn't coming through. I did troubleshooting, spent another couple of hours working on that. I can't get the audio to quite work right. Now, I can get the cameras to pick up through the boom mic at 6 or 8 feet away, but then it sounds like it's 6 or 8 feet away. You want good sound. And I did lapel mic, did this, I did wireless lapel mic, I did that. Doesn't seem to want to pick up. So, there's another vision in my mind of taking my shotgun and my cameras out in the desert and throwing them up in the air. Actually, I prefer if I could, what I could do is take a flamethrower with me and then deal with them that way as well. This has been the frustration I've been going on for weeks and weeks with these cameras, which are Pastor Prime. But you know what? You got to work with what you got. And it's been extremely difficult. So I'm just telling you this because it helps me to vent just a little. My wife comes in, and you know, after I've just discovered the audio is not working and I have to replace cables, she comes in, she's talking to me, and she's looking at me. She says, "Are you okay there?" And I said, "Now the audio doesn't work." She goes, "Okay, I'll talk to you later." She just smiles and walks out. She knows. So frustration of frustrations. It's really tough. But hey, that's what it is. That's what it is in order to get this done. I'll tell you, there's just roadblocks all the way. It's like Sisyphus trying to push a rock up a hill all the time. But that's the way it goes when you're a one-man team, I'll tell you, on video stuff. It takes a lot of patience and work to get it going. There you go. I feel much better now. You can pray for me. You can pray for my patience and the success of the video work. Whew, there, I feel so much better. Let's get to Teresa from Charlotte, North Carolina. Teresa, welcome. You're on the air.
Hi, Matt. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I just wanted to kind of pick your brain about the new ad campaigns I've been seeing for the HeGetsUs.com.
HeGetsUs.
I don't know if you've seen them yet.
No.
Yeah, they have like these heartwarming images maybe of a person, you know, suffering, and then it'll say, you know, Jesus experienced suffering too. HeGetsUs, and then it's HeGetsUs.com. So I kind of looked a little bit on their site. Since it's like an ad campaign that's tied to a nonprofit, it doesn't like have a statement of faith. But it looks like the main premise is to get people, you know, interested in Jesus and his relevancy, you know, today, just as it's always been, and maybe reach a more millennial crowd. But my concern was if they're not affiliated with any church or they're not affiliated with any, you know, political viewpoint, how a person would know, like, or if you knew anything about what their vetting process is with the churches or people they partner with to do, you know, outreach and connection, because of course, even though Jesus does get us, the word is still the word. And it doesn't mean that just because Jesus understands and is relevant, that it's the same, you know, that it undermines the truth of the Old Testament or, you know, what the word says about things like homosexuality or transgender. So just curious right. If you knew anything about it or that process.
Not at all. And thank you for showing it to me, because literally while you're talking, I went to the site. Let's not repeat it again, because I don't want people to go, if it's bad, I don't know if it is or not. And so it's nicely done. And I don't, there's a chat option. Let's see. And so I'm looking through stuff. I'll do some research on it and check it out. And I had to put it on my plate, another thing to do. In fact, my plate is about 40 feet in diameter, and it's about 40 feet high of things to do. So,
for sure.
Oh, yeah, I've got, I got a lot to do. But I'm looking at it. Here we go. So about, I see the about now at the very bottom of the page, and check them out. So I started a chat with them. And that literally right now, literally on a radio show right now, and want to know about you. Okay, do you have a statement of faith? Okay, and we'll see what happens. So I'm okay. Actually doing that. I'm going. We're not left wing or right wing, they say. Oh, I've got two tabs open. Diverse group of people. 501c3. And he get yeah, okay. So yeah, I don't see chat now, connect, text for prayer, read about Jesus. I gotta yeah, now I gotta check him out. So I gotta check him out.
Okay. Well, all right. Well, I'll peek on Carm, and when I see something, I'll check it out, because I think it's something that could be wonderful, or it could be something that's, you know, potentially very harmful to on that viewpoint and people in need who are easily influenced. So
that's right.
Well, thank
that's
you.
Right. That's right. So, oh, he's typing back. Let's see what he types. Okay. Our mission is to create opportunities for people across the U.S. to take a fresh look at the real Jesus and consider his radical teachings and claims documented in the Bible. We want to be open and approachable to everyone so everyone feels comfortable asking questions, including the difficult ones. Oh, watch this. Okay. Does Jesus have two natures? Divine and... Watch this. Let's see what it does. Divine and human, dot, 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 right now. Okay. And when people feel Jesus is a relevant historical figure who doesn't relate to them in the modern world, he has experienced every human frailty and vulnerability. He's for everyone. He has the answers to life's most pressing problems. He understands us. Okay. Yeah. So, you know, that's what I'm going to do. I'll just keep working with it during the show. do my research. So... this is what I have to do. I have to multitask. And so often during the breaks, I'm working on articles and reading. I have Kindle on another screen. I'm reading through the books and doing stuff like that. And, I'm working. So
you are, and it's helpful, and it's what has us ask questions like this and not taking things on face value. So I'm sure it gets overwhelming. It's definitely a blessing, and we appreciate you.
Well, thank you. And you know what? I'm just going to tell you. Let's see. He says Jesus is a part of the Holy Trinity, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. He was a man on earth just like you and I. But is he a man right now? Okay. So, but we'll see. What I could do is watch this. Okay. You know what? If you want, you can call into my radio show right now, and we could talk. Let's see. It's 720-722-76. Oh! Wow. He wrote, sorry, I don't understand what you're asking. Wow.
Uh-oh.
I'm asking if Jesus is both God and man right now. In heaven. All right. So he's typing something out. Okay, then we can move on because you know this is live, and so no, thank you. We are a chat service, not a call service. Okay, I understand. Okay, so there you go. How about that? So if they don't even know if he's a man, right? Oh, he's typing. Then we'll get going. If he doesn't know if he's a man right now, then it's very, very bad. I have to keep talking and asking questions and stuff like that. Let's see what he says, and then we'll get you going here. This is, where's a drum roll when you need a drum roll? All right. Oh, there's a break. That's good timing anyway.
All right, Matt.
All right.
Thank you very much.
All right.
Take
God
care.
Bless.
Bye-bye.
Okay, we'll see
you.
Okay. Hey, folks, we have four open lines. You want to give me a call? 877-207-2276. We'll be right back.
It's Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right, welcome back to the show, everyone. And if you want to give me a call, four open lines, 877-207-2276. And, okay, so the guys, I'll contact them. So I was just texting during the break with the guy, and... with whoever it is. Oh, his name's Landon. About that one website. And so I'm going to have to email him to see, you know, and ask him questions. See if we can talk. All right. Four open lines, like I said, 877-207-2276. Let's get to Courtney from Ohio. Hey, Courtney. Welcome. You're on the air.
Hey, Matt. Before I get to my main question, I asked your producer, I called a couple weeks ago, and you told me to send an email, which I did, so I just wanted to check and see if you got it or not. I didn't get, like, any response or anything from you guys, so just wanted to make sure you got it.
Okay, now I've got to come up with something that sounds intelligent, like I'm competent, and I remember everything. And I'm straining how to do that, because
okay.
I don't remember. And that's the truth. What was this about? Maybe you can gather. I'm a little bit swamped.
That's okay. Well, I want to not use the word that I used before because you brought up that there were kids watching, and I didn't want to actually use that word. At the time, it was a guy who gave a bad interpretation to a woman about a dream that she had.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I remember that.
Yeah.
Oh, I talked to people about that. Oh, yeah. Oh, I did, yeah. It's like my spiritual Tourette's was coming. I'm like, take that guy and bring me.
Well, I told you, if you got mad, I knew that was really bad if you got mad.
Yes, I did. And you sent it to info@karm.org?
Yes.
Okay. And I'm not sure. And what day? Because I'm looking at it right now. See, we have, we're down to 189 in that account. That's good. Okay, so that's really good.
Okay.
Yeah,
I just know, like, I want to hear, because you said you're going to actually call the guy yourself or contact him whatever way, and I really want to hear how it goes.
All right.
Yeah.
So, if I tell you what, because I'm looking through all of them, I don't know where it is, because it's different people who get into the account. If you could send it to me, if you can, like even right now, and I will watch the screen, and then I'll move it to a place where I can, you know, then take a look at it and do that after I get my video stuff, and while I get my video stuff, and while I'm researching online with this guy, and while I'm, you know, taking care of my wife, and fighting off bears and alligators that are, you know, invading. So, you know, just
a little bit
of
multi-time.
Little bit. That's right.
Okay.
So
I figured since I would have you on the phone, I would go ahead and just ask you something else, because I always have about 20 questions that I could ask you anyway.
Okay.
The one girl brought up something, I heard this a little bit before, about something about transgender, and I just wanted your opinion. We homeschool my daughter, so that's, you know, we don't have to deal with a lot of that schooling kind of thing, but we do have her in softball, and we have her in dance, and, you know, there's, it's been a couple times in both of those where we have some kids now that are, you know, there was one little girl where she had two moms. You know, now we have in dance where there's a girl who's, like, kind of looks transgender. She's, you know, wearing some really crazy T-shirts. And my question to you was, do you think it's a good idea to bring it up to your child that something's amiss with that little girl, or do you, because she's not brought it up, and I don't know if she's even noticed, do you think it's better not to say anything at all?
I would, you know, we need more information. If, well, for one thing, how old is she?
Eight.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I think that's a little bit, yeah, I think it's a little bit young, unless you're going to first and second grade, and then, you know, you want them brainwashed by the leftist intelligentsia who are just out to destroy. Well, they would do that and force it on people.
Something off with the little girl. So I'm like, do I even bring it up to my daughter?
I wouldn't.
A little wrong there, or okay.
I wouldn't bring it up. I mean, you know, if she starts asking questions or starts, you know, maybe you're starting to clue in that she's becoming aware, then, you know, it might be time to talk about it. But one of the things you could do is just prepare her by occasionally at the dinner table have a Bible study, and you go to Genesis, for example, and God made male and female, and you're talking about how good God is. You don't bring up anything other than just laying the foundation of truth out there. And then also that there are lots of people who rebel against God's truth. And then your husband needs to prepare for how you're going to talk about it to him, because it's going to come up. And as our world becomes more evil,
it's going to happen.
Yes, it is.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yep.
In fact, we don't have her in school, but, you know, it's other places. Like, we had the moms at her softball, like, they're like, being very, mm-hmm. very affectionate during a baseball or a softball game. And I was like, please not do that. I mean, like, even moms and dads aren't doing that at the softball game. Can't you just sit at the game and watch the game? You know?
Yeah, it's in your face. They're emboldened by the weakness of the conservatives and the Christians. That's the principle.
So and if you were at a softball game, would you ask those people not to do that?
Depends. If they're sitting right next to me and they're doing that, say, can you please refrain? You know, I'd tell them.
Yeah.
Can you please? You mind? It's just too much. This is a public setting and there's children here.
Right.
And if they were to, you're just a bigot. And I'd say, can you define bigot for me? And I'll say, I might say something like, I'm not someone you want to mess with when it comes to this stuff. Okay? But because I want to shut them down and say, look, you please. Okay, my child is here. I don't want my child to be exposed to that. That's why I'm asking.
Right.
Because if you two had a child here, and I was talking to my wife saying, hey, you know what? Lesbianism is wrong. Would you want your child to hear that? No. Well, the same way works this way, because show respect. And, even the others aren't even doing what you're doing. You're just flaunting it. So please. We need to talk to them and tell them. You can't just let them keep getting away with everything. People, you're so bigoted. You're so intolerant. Yeah, whatever. You know what? I don't care. You know, you're intolerant. Mm-hmm. Nah, go away, you know. It just doesn't bother me. I'm so used to being assaulted verbally and insulted. It's like, yeah. You done yet? Okay. So, here's something I did a while back, a few days ago, actually, literally. I was in a let's just say a chat room. I was in Oculus, in the virtual reality, and I was talking to some people. And they asked me about evolution, and so I started talking about this one guy just came unglued and did not want me to say anything and would interrupt and was rude. It was just, okay. And I said, hey, could you... I said, could you do me a favor? And he goes, what? And I says, could you look behind you? You know, just, you know, where you are, just look behind you. He goes, yeah, I'm not going to do anything stupid. I'm starting to laugh because I know what I'm going to say. I said, can you look behind you? Yeah. I just want to know if your diapers are full, you know. It was fun. Well, for me, it was fun, you know. I mean, come on. The guy's just being, he was being whacked. And so I try to be as polite as I can most of the time. But sometimes you just got to stand up and say enough's enough. And I'll tell you, now's the time, and it's been past time for us to stand up and say enough's enough. All right, Courtney, we got to go.
Okay, I'll send that email.
Break.
Thank you.
All right. Okay, 5 open lines, wide open. Give me a call, 877-207-2276. We'll be right back.
It's Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right, welcome back to the show. Everybody. Okay, so I'm laughing because during the break, people are saying, you got to hang that picture up because I have a video camera, and we simulcast this on YouTube and Facebook and on Twitter. And so there's a picture that's been on the ground on purpose for months and months, and they're starting to whine, you got to hang the picture up. So I hung it up, and now people are saying, finally, no, didn't even need a level. So I'm thinking... So I'm thinking, put one day on the ground, one day off the ground. See how many people who are OCD just have conniption fits. So we're having fun. Okay. Hey, if you want to give me a call, 3 open lines, 877-207-2276. Let's get to Brian from North Carolina. Brian, welcome. You're on the air.
Hey, Matt. What's going on?
I don't know. Nothing. Just doing radio. What do you got, big guy?
Well, I have a question for you, and I may be mistaken about this, but I was listening to some program you were on. I believe you hold the view that Jesus Christ has two wills, but there's I've always been under the impression that monothelitism was like a... Is that the heterodox view, or
yes.
What's your view on that?
Monothelitism is heresy because it deals with Eutychianism and or monophysitism. Now... So dithelotism, let me explain for the people who are like, what the heck is he saying? So, from the Greek thaleo, to will, to have a will, a desire, a want, to will. Okay. So, theology is very logical. And what we understand is that the Trinity is three distinct simultaneous persons. The Word is who became flesh and dwelt among us. And so Jesus, by logical necessity, has two natures. It's called the hypostatic union. Colossians 2:9, 1 Timothy 2:5, Philippians 2:5 through 8. And I can give you a lot of verses. Okay, with me? I'm hearing noises in the background, buddy.
With you.
Okay, got noises back
there?
That's
just the wind.
Okay. And so, by necessity, the human nature has to have a will. Otherwise, it's not human. The person of the Word has to have a will. Otherwise, it doesn't have personhood. These two become one in the person of Christ. Now, what that means is, in the hypostatic union, is one person, now this is significant, one person with two natures. Each of those natures must have a will, and that's called diathletism, D-I-2, diathletism. All right? That's the orthodox position. Now, how are those two wills manifested? They're manifested as one person with one will. And this is a paradox. It's a mystery. How is it possible that Jesus, who says, I am thirsty, I'll be with you always, the I is singularity, but yet necessarily in the person are two distinct natures, which requires a will for each, diatheletism. So therefore, we say he has, each nature has a will, but the expression of that combination, so to speak, is expressed in the single person of Christ, who is by logical necessity one person who has one will. So each of the wills is expressed as the one will in Christ. I'm not going to say alternates go back and forth. We just don't know how it works. But that's what it is. Okay?
Thank you, Matt. That's extremely helpful.
Now, let me add a little bit to that. There's a doctrine called the communicatio idiomatum. It means the communication of the properties. So, here, this is important as well. So with the person of Christ, he has a divine nature and a human nature. Logically, the divine nature has to have attributes. Otherwise, it's divine. It's going to have divine attributes. And the human nature has to have human attributes. Now, the divine nature is everywhere. The human nature is not. The divine nature knows all things. The human nature does not. Well, how do they come together? Well, again, I don't know. I don't have to know. Bible doesn't tell us how. But we do recognize that Jesus says things like, I am thirsty. Now that's absolutely, without a doubt, the attribute or the property of the human nature. Yet Jesus says, I'll be with you always, even to the end of the earth, Matthew 19:20. So he's claiming to be with everyone, always, everywhere. Now that's the claim of divine attribution, divine property. But notice, he's the same person who's represented by the word I. I'll be with you always. I am thirsty. The same person said both. So what we conclude is that the attributes of both natures are ascribed to the single person. So Jesus had the attribution of ubiquity, everywhereness, as well as location, right there in the human person. He therefore could be tempted and not fall. So the communication of the properties is important for that reason. Plus this, only when Jesus died on the cross, only the human nature died, because it's not possible for the divine nature to die, because by definition it doesn't have a biological function, can't die. Well then, if only the human nature died, then how's a sacrifice of divine value? We don't want to get into the error called Nestorianism. Basically, what Nestorianism says is that in the one body of Christ are two persons. There's a divine person and a human person, and they alternate back and forth in communication. That's wrong. That is just bad wrong. And so when we look at this issue of how then is the sacrifice a divine value if technically only the human nature died? Then what we do is we back up and we look at Christ and we say he is one person. He's one person with two natures. I am thirsty, I'll be with you always. Yet it's the person who died on the cross. And therefore, the person has divine qualities, divine attributes. And so therefore, the sacrifice is of divine value. In addition, we perceive the divine through the human. So we could, if we were back there, we could watch Jesus walk on water, the divine attributes. We could watch Jesus raise someone from the dead, you know, theoretically, you know, watching that. But what we would be doing is observing the divine through the expression of the human. So what we say is that the divine attributes are expressed through the human particulars or through the human nature, where Jesus walked on water as a man. But that's the human nature and the divine nature working, so to speak, together in the single person of Christ. Likewise, the single person of Christ went to the cross and died. And so even though the physical death can only be attributed logically to the human nature, yet the representation of the divine attributes are in the expression of that man, Christ Jesus, who died on the cross, therefore the sacrifice is of divine value. Okay?
Yeah, that's. I guess that same principle applies when it comes to, we know that the Son knows all things, and
right.
then, but it's also said that the day and the hour, you know,
no man knows.
The power of the Father.
Except that that's a wedding feast idiom that is used. A lot of people don't understand that. So the Father, we've got 2 minutes before the break, so I'm just going to continue with this until the break. So in a wedding feast, the father of the bride, the father of the son would arrange a wedding, and then the feast had to be like a year-long engagement, and the relatives had to prepare themselves to be able to travel 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 miles inside of Israel to go to the wedding. They had to know what day that was. So during that time, the groom was obligated, according to the custom, to build a room addition onto the home that he was going to go get the bride and come back to. So he's to build a room, build a mansion, as Jesus says, I go to prepare a place for you, and I'll come back for you. And so the friends of the bridegroom would say, hey, when are you going to go get her? And he'd say, no man knows the day nor the hour but the Father alone. It was an idiomatic expression showing this the respect given to the Father as the head of the house, that he would then say, now. And then they would go with the trumpeters and with the feast being ready in order to go get the bride, and then they would come back with the trumpets and the trumpeters and the band celebrating as they came back to the house to have that wedding, and then they went into the bride chamber for consummation and things like that. So when he says, no man knows the day or the hour, it's an expression out of the wedding feast of that culture. Doesn't mean he didn't know. And you can go to John 21:17 where Peter says, you know all things, and he doesn't deny it. Okay, there's a lot of information there. Okay, buddy? All right.
Yeah, I appreciate that, Matt.
Okay, Brian, God bless. We have two open lines. If you want to give me a call, 877-207-2276. We'll be right back.
Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
Welcome back to the show. Let's get to Jose from Texas. Welcome, you're on the air.
Hi, Matt, can you hear me?
Yes, I can. I can hear you. Mm-hmm.
Oh. By the way, I like the last call. I enjoyed it. So I have a question. I was watching your video. I called you last week regarding Trinity. And I watched your video that I was on your calendar. And one of your on your conversations, you mentioned that William Branham, he's a heretic?
Yeah, he's a false teacher.
Mm-hmm. He's a false teacher. Okay. Mm-hmm. So this brings to my other question is, so this brings me another question. There's a lot of signs and wonders that he did, you know, that he did in the name of Jesus, of course. How can a Christian discern the spirit? You know, because of course we're commanded by in the Bible, 1 John. I'm not sure what verses or chapter and verse to test the spirit. So, how can we know? Because it's pretty hard. I'm saying like from a Christian, I guess, and a beginner, I guess, for a Christian point of view.
So, I'll tell you what. Ask me a. you started two questions and then you cut yourself off on the question. So
I'm not bad.
Yeah. So what's your question then?
Yeah. So I think you answered that Billy Branham is a false teacher.
Yes.
But my question was, how can we distinguish, you know, I guess a person if it's a false teacher or not?
By reading scripture and knowing what the Bible teaches doctrinally. So Branham denied the doctrine of the Trinity and required salvation in Jesus' name only, which is false. And he said he was a God spokesman on earth and started teaching other things. So you can't trust him as a true teacher. Now, he does miracles, right? People said he does miracles. Well, there's some evidence that not really. Because some people have done research and follow-up on healings and things, and a lot of times it wasn't the case. So there's that. That's not to say he didn't, but let's say he did. It still doesn't mean he's of God, because in Matthew 7, 22 and 23, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, do we not prophesy in your name, perform many miracles, cast out demons? And Jesus says, get away from me, I never knew you. So how do we tell if someone's legit or not? By who they profess and what they profess. Then you got to be careful even then, because they could just say the right thing. So it's difficult. This is why, even for me, who's very well trained in this, I have difficulty sometimes finding the truth from error with some people. So, like, for example, I'm reading through one of Rick Joyner's books, an NAR guy, and a lot of what he says is really good, seriously, really good stuff. And yet, there's some difficulties and some other things he says, and without some theological understanding, you won't recognize it. And so, I'm leaving that vague right now because I'll read some documentation in a day or two or three. But it does take discernment. It does take discernment. It does take time, and that's how you got to know it. You got to learn. You got to study Word of God. Okay. Yeah, it's hard.
It's hard, and especially when someone does a lot of signs and wonders, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
But if
they do signs and wonders, you say you go to a church, and this guy says, "I'm a prophet of God, I'm an apostle of God," and let's just say it's pretty stinking convincing miracle occurs at his hand,
right,
or her hand. Okay, does it mean that person's from God? No, it doesn't mean. Does it mean a person's not from God? Doesn't mean that either. So, you know, are the charismatic gifts for today? I believe they are. Are there apostles and prophets today? That's another topic, because the New Testament talks about prophets. I believe the apostles are for that time only, and there's no present-day apostles. But the prophets, that's different, because the Bible talks about telling us, Paul says, seek prophecy. Seek that you can prophesy. That's 1 Corinthians 14:1. That's what it says. Now, unless you want to say all that stopped with the completion of the canon, another topic, blah, blah, blah. But if we believe the charismatic gifts are still for today and that the canon is not the dividing line chronologically, then we should be praying for prophecy. But that's a very difficult thing to do. So how do you know when someone's a true prophet or not? Well, I'm reading through their material and they're saying, well, sometimes they make mistakes in their prophecies. Well, wait a minute. Deuteronomy 18 says you can't make prophecy mistakes if you're from God. So you really have to know stuff, and you have to deal with these things. And it's tough. And another, well, I could get on, I could really get my soapbox about all this, but there you go. It takes a lot of study, okay?
Oh, it does. That's so good. Anyways, man, thank you. Thanks for taking the call.
All right, man. God bless, buddy.
All right, have a good one.
Okay, you too. All right, let's get to Jason from Utah. Jason, welcome. You are on the air.
I just got a question, and I'll just let you go. What's the difference rapture and the other one, I'm sorry.
Tribulation?
Yes, if you can explain that.
Sure.
That'd be great. And I'll
no problem.
Like go.
Well, it's okay. Just hang on. It's easy to explain the difference. The tribulation is a supposedly a period of time of 7 years. And then the Great Tribulation is the second half of the 7 years, where the Antichrist will then manifest himself. The rapture is the event that where Christ returns, and then people are transformed in the twinkling of an eye, go up to meet him in the clouds. And that happens either before the tribulation, mid-tribulation, or at the end of the tribulation, according to different views. Okay?
Okay. Thank you very much. Like always, thank you.
You're welcome very much. All right, God bless. All right, let's get to Alberto from Georgia. Alberto, welcome, buddy. You're on the air.
Yes, good evening, Matt Slick. I got a question. You know, Isaiah 44:6.
Mm-hmm.
Well, a lot of the oneness preachers, like Geno Jennings, they like to quote that verse to prove mm-hmm. that God said that there's no other God beside me. But God never said there's no other person or persons beside me. So Jesus Christ, who went up and sat mm-hmm. at the right hand of God was a man, which was a person. So
what's your question?
I would like to. My question is, Isaiah 44:6 God never said there's no other person or person.
What's your question?
He just said there's no other. That's my question. My question my question is that God never said.
It's a statement. It's a statement, not a question. Let me just comment. I'll just comment on a verse. And you're right. Okay, you are right. God says, "I'm the first, I'm the last. There's no God besides me." When a oneness person goes here to say, "See, there's only one God," the Trinitarians should say, "Yeah, of course. That's one of the verses we use for our teaching. What are you bringing it up for?" Because a lot of times they'll go there thinking that the Trinity teaches three separate gods. That's not what we teach. And I say, what are you going there for? We affirm monotheism. So what's your problem? Why are you teaching? What are you going here for? You always have to find out what the reason is that you're going to a particular verse. What are they saying? And yeah, God is there's only one God, and God is a Trinity. There's only one being who is the Trinity. That's right. And we can agree with him.
Yeah.
And they'll go, no, he's not a Trinity. Mm-hmm. Well, that verse doesn't talk about Trinity or not Trinity. It just talks about God. And we agree, God is only one God. So, there you go. And I say, you got anything else you want to look at? You know.
I would like you to debate Geno Jennings. So I can show the debate to my friend of mine who is always defending him. So I would like you to debate him, challenge him.
You know, I'd be glad to debate
possible.
Him. Yeah, I debate these guys. I do a public debate, absolutely, on this, guys.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Do you reach out to him?
Well, if someone wants to do it for me, I got 18,000 things I do. And the problem is I'll email somebody. No, seriously, I email somebody, and then I forget to check my emails to see responses. I just am that busy. And I'm not whining or complaining, you know, woe is me. It's just saying, hey, you know, ministry's just going full bore and got a busy schedule, and sometimes they just drop the ball. And we got to work on figuring out a way to get things, you know, a little more efficient so I don't make as many mistakes. That's all. It's a good problem to have.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Mm-hmm. All right. Keep up the great work, sir.
Hey, I'm trying, buddy. And thanks for calling, man. Appreciate it. All right.
All right, you too. All right, God bless you.
Okay. All right, let's get to Carrie from Boise, Idaho. I think I know this, Carrie. Carrie, welcome. You're on the air.
Hi, thank you for taking my call.
Mm-hmm.
I am wondering if a church says they believe in or they affirm the doctrine of predestination, which is the same as saying election, as far as I understand.
Close.
And then they say they also... Oh, okay. They say they lean... more Arminian than Calvinist at the same mm-hmm. time.
Mm-hmm.
Is that an oxymoron? Is there a conflict there? Or
yes,
am
there
I
is.
Just not understanding something? Okay.
Yeah, they don't understand the nuances of the biblical doctrines, and so they've not gone further down the theological road to connect the dots. A lot of times what the Arminians say about predestination is that, and I just heard this yesterday in a room I was listening to, God knows what choices you're going to make. And based on those choices of you receiving him or not, he's going to predestine you. And that's not the biblical position. That would be favoritism. Okay. It would be risking violating God's aseity in his knowledge and various things and making God reactionary. They just haven't thought these things through. And I work with them, people regularly, to say, well, that doesn't work. Because what you're saying is that God knows what they're going to do and then his choices are based on what they're going to do. How then is God sovereign? Because that makes God reactionary and not sovereign. Now, that's a quick way of saying that, and I unpack it with them. So Arminians don't generally, what they do is they reject the idea of God's absolute sovereignty over all things. And they'll say, well, if you're predestined, you don't have free will. But I say, that's not true. And I was teaching this last night with a guy, and I said, does Jesus have free will? He says, well, yes. Is Jesus predestined from the foundation of the world to do whatever the Father says? Now, that one kind of caught him off guard. And what I did was I went to John 5:19, which Jesus says, truly, truly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself unless it's something he sees the Father doing. And then I went to John 5:30, where he says, I can do nothing of my own initiative. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just. He says, but I seek the will of him who sent me. So I say, now, Jesus could only do what he said the Father could, you know, had him to do, right? Yes. Did Jesus have free will? Yes. And that was eternally predestined and ordained by God, right? Yes. Therefore, human free will, our free will, or just free will in general, is compatible with God's sovereign decrees and his work in predestination. There's the proof right there.
All right, thank you. I'm going to chew on that for a while.
All right. No problem.
All right.
All right, well, God bless.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Bye. So, you know, one of the things I do, folks, is I deal with a lot of particulars in theological discussions. And, you know, this is what I do. It's not what most everybody does. And because I'm in apologetics all the time and discussing these things. And so I really enjoy getting down that deep into issues and into things. I enjoy it. And I find that I learn a lot when I do that, and that's what I was just conveying there with some of those truths. There you go. Okay, we're about out of time. I just want to let you know that we stay on the air by your support. Please consider supporting us. Just go to carm.org, carm.org/donate, and if you can, even if it's just $5 a month for recurring donation, that really helps us a lot to lay a foundation of the future, what we can and can't do. So may the Lord bless you, and by his grace, we're back on here tomorrow, and we'll talk to you then. Have a great evening, everyone. God bless. Bye.
Another program powered by the Truth Network.